11 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. We are live out at Hollywood Casino. It's the Fan Takeover Day, your chance to win a signed Charles and Minihue football. We're registering you for that, plus some Chiefs-Colts tickets. Hollywood Casino's giving away $100 in pin cash every hour from 10 to 6 today. The drive is going to be broadcasting starting at 2 o'clock. And during every break, I am taking what we started with on a cash-out ticket and just putting it in a craps machine and playing craps every commercial break. We had a good commercial break.
Ooh, we
went from $14 to $29.
Oh, nice.
We had a good commercial break playing some craps. At one point, we were actually at $38, but the rule was I had to play until the break ended.
Until the break ended. So you couldn't just get up. Maybe we could set, like, a limit. If you get up, like, 20 or something, you can come back, you know?
Yeah, we'll see. I'm guessing this is going to ebb and flow throughout the entire day. So hope to see you guys out here at Hollywood Casino, the beautiful sports book here. A great spot coming up on Saturdays with college football, obviously NFL Sundays. The leather recliners we were sitting in earlier are very, very comfortable. You might, like, fall asleep, might nod out. My guess is somebody's fallen asleep a few times in these leather seats at the sports
comfy book. You want a big comfy seat if you're going to watch, you know.
Oh, you're going to be here for 8 hours. You're going to be here all day watching some sporting events. So hope to see you guys at Hollywood Casino. Let's go out to the hotline, though, and welcome in Josh Briscoe, who will make his Chiefs Radio Network debut tomorrow night as the pre- and post-game host. Briscoe, first of all, I don't know if we've said congrats on air before, but congrats, and I'm guessing you're fired up for tomorrow.
Yeah, honestly, man, it doesn't take a whole lot for that first preseason game of the year. I'm already kind of itching for it because I am sort of sick in the head that way. But now with this entire week of preparation and getting to work with some more of the Chiefs Radio Network crew and getting all of my stuff together for tomorrow night, I am extremely excited. I think this is by far the most excited I've ever been for a preseason game. And I usually start that at a pretty high level. So yeah, it's been a very cool, pretty surreal stretch of these last few weeks, month, whatever it's been, and I'm very, very glad to have football here for a whole variety of reasons.
We were just talking about other preseason games, and really, usually you pick a few players that you're going to key in on. If I were to ask you who you think has a chance to become the story maybe out of this game Saturday, who would you say is first?
I'll give you the one that I'm guessing you've already mentioned some because he has been a story out at training camp all summer. I want to see what Tyquan Thornton does against another team, against another defense. Can he get off the line of scrimmage against somebody who's going to put his hands on him over there? And is there an inclination? We're assuming, at least I'm assuming, I don't know this, but I'm assuming Rashee Rice and Hollywood Brown aren't suiting up, not having practice, don't need him out there tonight or tomorrow night. But if Tyquan Thornton's out there with the ones, I don't even know if I care if Patrick Mahomes goes his way. I want to know if Andy Reid calls his number in terms of just having him out there to get a little bit more action in this offense. So I am, you know, for the eighth consecutive year, I've found a pass catcher in training camp who I really do think has a real chance to make the roster and then maybe make an impact. The last seven times, I'm not sure that's worked out. Maybe this time will be different. Eighth time, shame on me. But I really do want to see if Tyquan Thornton can show us a little bit of something. Not just like beating a blown coverage, but can he look like a useful player in this offense, like MVS was at his best times, like Justin Watson was. He played a huge, like, important role in this offense, eating some snaps. I think there's a chance Thornton can do that, and I think he can show us a little bit tomorrow.
This is the first time in the Camp Darling part, and he is still on Camp Darling Island, a thing we do up at training camp. Only four players remain. Nine entered. Only four remain. Although, again, it's reality TV on our show, too, which means you can re-enter. Tyquan's the first guy in a while that I'm like, yeah, he could be a contributor that, like, we talk about every once in a while. I'm not going to tell you he's everything, but Justin Watson, you know, even his 350 yards, Briscoe, sometimes mattered because – you know, if you can just make a catch on third and five sometimes, that matters, especially because if you're Justin Watson or Tyquan Thornton, third and five, and Travis Kelce and Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy are out on the field, you pretty much get carte blanche to go up against anybody who can't cover if you're Tyquan Thornton. So, like, you should be able to win your matchups at that point. That's what I always felt like happened with Justin Watson. He was just going up against linebackers or backup safeties or, you know, not bad players, but less good players.
And I had to double check this to just make sure I was remembering it correctly. I'm going to say it, and half the people listening are going to go, that can't be right. Justin Watson played 60% of the Chiefs' offensive snaps last year. Obviously, you had Hollywood's injury and Rice's injury, and, you know, injuries happen. Hollywood's on the sideline now. Rice is going to miss some games, we guess. Justin Watson was on the field more than any Chiefs wide receiver last year in the regular season, not named Xavier Worthy, who barely passed him late in the year. So that's the other thing with Thornton that has him beyond the darlings of camps past. And let's go ahead and pour one out for Luis Rizamit. We barely LRC. Knew him, but man, he made an impact. Ugh. Red Zone Louie, I called him in for no particular reason.
He would have won Camp Island a couple years ago, man.
Oh, man, I would have voted
for
him.
I hear you're going to be the highest bidder, and eventually, if we do this Cody and Gold garage sale ever again, with that LRZ signed helmet.
Not only that, I want you guys to know, like, I'm willing to engage in corruption to get that helmet. Like, I don't need to win it fair and square. I need to have it. I don't need a signed Tyquan Thornton helmet yet, but like the Chiefs do need somebody to go outside and do some of those things as the X receiver who doesn't end up being one of the main pass catchers in this offense, but somebody's got to run the route. Somebody's got to make a safety believe that you could try to take the top off the defense. And the fact that Thornton was in the offense late last season and then had some reps there, had the entire offseason, now has this, he got a head start in that, in his PhD in Andy Reid's offense or whatever it's going to be. Maybe just getting to 301 before this season starts. But I see the need for it, and that's the thing that separates him a little bit from your Reese Zamets or your Reese Fountains or whoever you've had in your years past, Justin Ross even. We saw the vision there, didn't come together. I'm cautiously optimistic about Thornton.
I forgot how good of a preseason Darius Fountain had.
I could never forget.
Such a good preseason.
Was the other one? People were mad. Went to Carolina and everybody freaked out.
Smith-Marset.
Yes, yeah, Amir Smith-Marset. I think he got a conditional seventh pick swap, something kind of thing going on there. I think he's a giant now.
Speaking of conditional pick swaps, Nate Taylor was on our show with us a couple of days ago when we were out at training camp, and he made it sound like that it's a non-zero chance that Felix Anudike-Uzomah is playing for his job this preseason. As in, maybe there's another team who suffers a defensive line injury who comes calling on a player like that where they haven't had the room and drafted two guys to directly compete with him, and Omar Norman-Laden, Ashton Gelati, to go with the other guys who are back, like Mike Dana and Charles Amenihue. So it starts feeling like squeezed out of the room. Does it feel like to you, sometimes in preseason we talk about guys playing for their role, does it feel like Felix Anudike could be playing for his roster spot?
I got to talk to Nate less, because I told you at the beginning of this, like, you know, I got an obvious one and kind of a sneaky one. Apparently, it's not that sneaky.
Is that the sneaky one?
That's the sneaky one. Look, the unofficial depth chart is unofficial, right? This is not where the coaches have everybody. But something that Nate said also with Felix is that it's pretty indicative of the reps that he's seen at camp. Obviously, you guys have been out there a ton. Felix Anudike-Uzomah being in line behind Ashton Gelati is maybe a good sign for Ashton Gelati, but boy, it really hurts for a guy who was a first-round pick so recently and who showed some flashes last year. So yeah, I think Felix isn't going to be able to prove that he can be an NFL starter in the preseason against the second and third teams of the Arizona Cardinals, but if he is out there later in a game, I think he really needs to show a level of dominance. The level of dominance of, hey, this is a backup tackle. I need to look like a first-round pick who has a future in this league. I would guess at this point, and Nate would know more, but I would guess that he's not like a hot trade candidate, because it would be hard to sell lower on a former first-round pick. But if you get down to the roster bubble and you're thinking, man, I don't know, Janarius Robinson might be more useful in Spags' defense right now, I would understand. The thing about it that was kind of evident at the time and then now just sort of just weighs heavy is, if you looked at Ashton Gelati and Felix Anudike-Uzomah, you took all the uniform colors away, you changed their numbers, they're just wearing black and white uniforms, and you can watch their college film and their camp film, and for Felix, his NFL film. If you said, all right, look at player A and player B, which one of these defensive ends looks more like a Steve Spagnuolo edge? Everyone would say, well, Ashton Gelati doesn't quite have the length that you'd like, but he's the guy, right? So I still hold out a little bit of hope that Felix has a future in a situational pass rusher kind of role. But if the Chiefs are no longer all that interested in seeing what else he has, that would obviously be a pretty big bummer.
When you look at the rest of where the Chiefs are offensively, we were talking a little bit about where they're going to be defensively and offense, and with the ninth ranked, I think was the random number we tossed out, offense be good enough for this team to win a Super Bowl. What do you think the absolute ceiling is for both defense and offense? What's the absolute ceiling of points per game? Everything goes well. Chris Jones, a 10 sack guy. You know, like, everything goes well within reason. Sure. Chris Jones doesn't get 25 sacks this season. But within reason, what do you think the peaks for both the offense and the defense are?
I mean, if Patrick Mahomes is playing quarterback, I'm going to say that the ceiling is that they're the best offense in football. And that's not a, like, that's not a snarky answer. That's legit. Obviously, if Rashee Rice misses significant time, I think it might be something where the season-long stats aren't quite as shiny, or maybe the beginning of the year without Rice would be a little bit more tumultuous. But I think by the back half of the season, we could be looking at this offense and say, all right, Josh Simmons has played 6, 7, 8 games. Rashee Rice is on the field. Everybody's up to speed. Hopefully Hollywood's healthy. We're going best case scenario here, right? The running back by committee is giving you some different pitches and some different looks you can show. And Travis Kelce's got a little bit of a load off his shoulders. He's more effective and more efficient, I guess I should say. And Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes. I think they could have a kind of frustrating first 4 weeks or whatever. Again, like if Rice isn't out there and things don't quite gel how you want them to. By the back half of the year, I think we're going to feel silly about that. If Josh Simmons is the answer, if Patrick Mahomes remains Patrick Mahomes, which I think he will, and if those weapons can be healthy enough to give Mahomes more to work with, they'll be the most fearsome offense in football by the end of the season, or certainly top five, I think is not the floor, but the expectation. Defensively is kind of fun. Well,
we're talking to Josh Briscoe. Sorry, Briscoe. We're talking to him as he's getting set for the Chiefs Radio Network pre- and post-game show tomorrow night right here on 96.5 The Fan as the Chiefs open up preseason against the Cardinals to kick this thing off. We were looking at the AFC West, as we all have, and every year in the summertime, everybody's starting to make their predictions, and everybody falls in love with the Chargers or the Broncos. Yesterday, though, devastating news with Rashawn Slater, their left tackle, out for the season with that patellar tendon. What do you think this does for the AFC West and just how tight it's going to be?
I mean, it's a massive loss for the Chargers, and you can't help after having the patellar tendon on the mind for basically from March to now in Kansas City. I saw that news yesterday, and it just kind of takes the air out of you. Obviously, that's the matchup in week one for the Chiefs, and so they'll get a first crack at whatever the answer ends up being. I don't know if there's any talk of shuffling Alt to the left side or what they're going
to
do there.
The guy who used to play tackle for him, I think, was the rumor is going to play left tackle for him again, the backup guy. I don't remember his name.
Pipkins, I think, would be the left tackle then if that's the plan, so good luck with that. It obviously, and maybe he'll work out, I don't know, but he's not going to beat Rashawn Slater. It's a crushing blow to the Chargers, who I think do have all the offensive pieces, at least maybe the wide receivers I've still got my doubts about. McConkey's good, and they've got Keenan Allen back. But it really did feel to me for the, 10th consecutive season, I know, it did feel to me like the Chargers had a real chance. I think they still have a real chance to kind of take that step from perennial fringe team that never makes it work to finally getting one of those seasons from Justin Herbert, to finally having enough of a roster around him for that entire team to look better. You obviously have the right head coach there now, or at least I would say they do. But it's going to be such a burden to have to work around that. We know what it looks like when an offense can be kind of curtailed by poor left tackle play. We just watched that happen last season. So it's a big deal. And if they can get average left tackle play, again, thinking back to last Chiefs season, if they can get average left tackle play, they're a wild card team to me. But without Rashawn, like a fringe wild card team. With Rashawn Slater, I think they would have been probably my favorite wild card pick of the group. You mentioned the rest of the AFC West. Like, the Raiders are a professional organization again, I think. You have a coach and quarterback who have done it before. That makes me respect them. I don't think they're going to be a playoff team, but I think they're going to be tough to play twice a year for everybody in the division. And then the Broncos, maybe it's just Broncos hatred that I've held on to for too much of my life. The defense is going to be great again, obviously. Yes. I think Sean Payton is a very, very good head coach who still kind of rubs me the wrong way sometimes for reasons I can't fully explain. I'm going to hold on to my Bo Nix skepticism until he pries it from my hands, because I think they're going to be kind of a good enough, and the great care about the defense, a good enough team to, again, be a pain to play. But I think I still narrowly prefer the Chargers for the two slot, and I will still take the Chiefs to win the division. It might be a little bit uglier than it was last year. They're probably going to have more than one loss entering the last week of the season, but I would be really surprised if the AFC reign ends this year.
All right, Josh, we'll be listening tomorrow night. What time does pregame start on the Chiefs Radio Network?
6 o'clock, I get the nod there, and we'll be rolling. I'm going to talk a little bit about why the running back room I think should be interesting for all four quarters, and of course we'll break it down after the game goes final. And I know we'll have some familiar names. Maybe we'll have a couple under the radar guys who pop up into the radar after. We'll be there for all four quarters of it. And I, again, a sicko, am kind of excited to see who stands out from the back end of the depth chart.
Awesome stuff. There you go. That's Josh Briscoe. He joins us each and every Friday once football season starts. This will be kind of the time he joins us on the show as well. And, of course, every single Chiefs game pre and post on the Chiefs Radio Network here on 96.5 The Fan. Josh Briscoe will be hosting that. We'll get to the trash of the day in a couple of minutes. But, yeah, what he was saying about the Chargers injury, we haven't talked a ton about it so far on the,
no,
on the show today.
But,
I mean, it's not Justin Herbert going down, but it is a massive loss.
Is it the second worst besides, like, Ladd McConkey?
I think so.
Because they don't have any other wide receivers?
So. I think that's right. I think that would be my order. I would go – I mean, there's an argument that Slater is actually still a bigger loss than even McConkey.
At least they have Pipkins. They don't have any. They have a guy who has started at left tackle for them.
That's fair.
At some point, at least behind him. If McConkey went down, they got nobody. They just had Keenan Allen.
Look, I don't think suddenly the Chargers are a 6-win team. Neither do you. But at the same time, if you thought there was a chance, in my opinion, that they were going to go and win 13 games, I didn't believe that anyway, in fairness. But I just don't know how you do it without having – one of their strengths was going to be dominant left tackle and right tackle play.
We just talked about this injury the entire offseason with Simmons and how most players don't even come back from it.
Yeah, that's a long-term issue.
This could be – like, they have to think about the fact that this could be impacting them for a while, Gold.
Well, good for him that he got the deal done. I mean, honestly,
He did a hold-in, by the way.
Yeah.
He did a hold-in in order to get paid.
He's guaranteed a lot of money. Thank goodness he was not still negotiating. By the way, this is also the other example why, you know, as much as we talk about, you know, give Drew a hard time with Hendrickson not getting paid and the Bengals organization is a joke
sure
and all that.
Paid.
But this is why Hendrickson's sitting out and wants to get paid. It's why Michael Parsons wants to get paid and James Cook and Terry McLaurin. And McLaurin's been in the league long enough where he's made some money, but the point is, these guys want the security.
Backflare, who knew?
These guys want and obviously want the job security because they know at any given moment they can tear an ACL. They can have a patellar tendon injury. They can have something like that happen that costs them their entire season. Or, worst case scenario, it costs you your career.
You and I had both agreed that we already thought the better roster was the Broncos. And the only argument for the Chargers are a better team than the Broncos in the division was quarterback. That was the only solid argument. Was that their quarterback's better. Outside of that, you couldn't give me a lot of roster reasons why one team was better than the other. And I also think that the Chargers' defense is still ripe for regression because they took too big of a leap considering the talent that's on the roster. Harbaugh's obviously a very good defensive coach and is going to get them in a better position than they are typically or traditionally inside of that. But, like, yeah, I think that this is huge news.
People are wondering, is it a coincidence that Carrington is off today after the devastating Charger news as he is Charger Dot? Mm. That is true.
We did put up a billboard once.
Oh, yeah, we did. No, he had a scheduled day off already.
We should do more billboards on this show.
We should. That was fun when we had the Charger Dot billboard. But, no, he was already scheduled off today. It is a weird coincidence, though, I understand, that the devastating Chargers news happens within 24 hours of Carrington not being on the show.
I guess I really wonder what the national media is going to say now that this is the case. I mean, you just can't.
Well, it'll be used as an excuse for when the Chiefs win the division.
That's why they'll win it next year. They got Slater back
now. That's right. The Chiefs wouldn't have won it if it wasn't for that. That'll be the story all year. Yes, that's ridiculous. All right, let's get to the trash of the day. So we go to Maryland for this story, Salisbury, Maryland. This is a lady that now is
sitting in a line from wedding crashers.
Yes. There's a lady there that is now facing multiple charges after she allegedly set fire to a man's home. And you're like, well, that's crazy. But what's the detail
Andre
behind
Rison
it?
Style, huh?
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. It was all over $7. $7. That was how this started. $7. She reportedly knew the unnamed homeowner for several years. She goes to the house to demand that $7, she says, was owed to her.
And set his house on fire?
Argument ensued, and reports say that she then left and returned, this time with a bottle of gasoline, which she poured on the home's front door and then pedaled away on a bicycle.
Whoa!
Yes.
So she filled a plastic or some kind of bottle full of gasoline, sprayed it all over the thing, over a $7 debt?
That's right.
Dude, I get it. Like, the very few times in my life in which, like, somebody's owed me, like, a little bit of cash, like, you know, like $100, because, you know, like, I'll be honest, plenty of people over the time you've lent $7, $20, $25, you long since forgot, didn't worry about it, or thought in your head, like, you really holding me up over this $20? That's a slightly different conversation. $7?
I don't know. Isn't that crazy?
You can't even get like a Chipotle bowl for $7.
No.
You know? Like, what are we doing here?
That's right.
You can't even owe me lunch at that point.
I mean, over $7, something's wrong. Something's wrong there. If that's really.
You think there's like a, you know. Like
yes,
a,
I do.
Also, actually. Man. Lesson learned. Pay your, this man's going to learn a lesson, hard lesson. He's going to be paying his debts. He's a Lannister for the rest
Someone
of his life.
Someone says it's definitely more than $7. It says it was $7 in the story. Someone says it's not about the $7. It's about standing on business. Respect to the lady that set a dude's door on fire? No, I can't get there with you on that one.
I mean, how can I? It's not this guy. I mean, you should have paid his debt, I guess. You owe anybody right now?
Also,
you got any outstanding debts?
I don't, but you have $7. You're now going to be spending thousands on repairs, on an attorney, on all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, you're way more. I mean, I don't know, man. Maybe she really needed the $7. And, I mean, I'd like to think that she emphasized the amount that she needed based on that. There's somebody right next to us. What do you think?
Quite a few dollars. They're refilling the ATM to our left. And there's just a couple bands of money right next to me. Just a bunch. Just chilling. Just a bunch of it right there.
What's the most money you've ever seen at one time in your life? I worked at a bank briefly, so I saw a lot.
I mean, I've been to a place that has it, like, on display, you know.
Okay. What's the most you like, physically put your hands on?
Ooh.
Different question. Not like, $10K?
Yeah.
Physically put your hands on
$10K? Yeah, but I would say in Kansas City, we have the Federal Reserve, obviously, and there you can go. They have, like, free tours of the museum. And you go in there, there's a glass window, and you can see the pallets and pallets of cash.
At the time when I was working, I guess no bank does this at all under any circumstance. It's a crazy number now. But at the time, my drawer limit was $100,000. So I regularly had between $80,000 and $150,000. That I was in charge of when I worked at a bank, and then I used to have to help with the vault, and the vault had, like, I don't know, hundreds of thousands? I don't know. We'd have to, like, audit it once a quarter or something, so I probably had to do that once, so maybe it wasn't physically in my possession. The most I remember ever dealing with that I had to deal with was a guy who came in once a month, and he would just have cash, and he'd make you hand count it before it went in the vault, and he'd come in with, like, 218, 272, wow. And I'd have to hand count it. Before it went into the vault, it would take me an hour of my day, and it would be just in, like, Walmart grocery sacks. Is crazy.
That is crazy. That is very. Someone said you guys buried the lead on the trash of the day. She pedaled away on a bicycle. Yeah, that's what it said. That was her getaway vehicle.
Didn't have gas money. She needed that $7.
Think she's driving a Lexus? I mean, or something like that.
Someone burned someone's house down.
Someone asked if her name's Becca. Did they just call the name?
You think this is Becca?
Becca, but Becca went missing. She's not the angry ex. If anything, the person looking for Becca is.
Someone says the most money gold you could see is what you get for the Caitlin Clark card. We will have an update on it. The auction ends tomorrow night.
Send you cash.
No, it'll be it just gets wired to your bank.
Do you get like a text update anytime someone bids?
No, that's what's so weird. I'll say about the golden site. So if you are a bidder, like if you bid. You would get notified if someone outbid you. For whatever reason, they don't have the ability. I don't know why.
I have the app
for me. So I have to just check multiple times a day. Now, tomorrow night.
Auction ends tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night.
8 o'clock?
The Caitlin Clark 101 card auction ends. One day, 9 hours and 35 minutes from now. Okay?
Okay.
It's at $27.50.
Okay. We expect the action to pick up late
tomorrow. Starting at like 4 in the afternoon. Is when we hope to see a few bids come in on top of what we have.
We'll check it later in the show and make sure if there's another bid you know.
All right, up next, we'll get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. We'll talk more about what we want to see from a couple players this evening, and we'll get back into our conversation about regression and what that could look like for the offense or defense.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Chiefs Red Half Hour brought to you by All Weather Decks, Kansas City's most respected deck builder. Check them out at allweatherdecks.net. We're, of course, live here at Hollywood Casino where you can come up for 96.5 The Fan Takeover Day. We'll be broadcasting live until 2. The Drive will be broadcasting live until 6. Every hour we are here, Hollywood Casino will be choosing a new person to get $100 in pin cash every hour we're here. All you got to do is come up and register, or maybe you registered online yesterday. Plus, you can sign up to register to win an autographed Charles and Minihue football or tickets to Chiefs and Colts just by stopping by here. We're with the Sportsbook here at Hollywood Casino, broadcasting until 6. Be a great time, so come by and see us. You want a chance at all those great prizes. How did craps go?
We had a good break.
Oh.
We're playing the electronic craps machine every break. Remember, we were down to 14. Then last break, we entered the ticket at $29. We said, you got to play through the commercial break.
Yeah, you can't just get up $5
and then walk back.
You got to play through.
So I just sat back down right as we got back from break. We're up to $42.48. It was a good break.
Hey.
It's like a $13 break. You know what? Let's just see how it goes all day.
$42.
They
got a little money to lose.
The next break, we'll just keep going. We'll see. I for sure thought we were about to go down, and we got.
You crapped out on the first one, and so
mm-hmm.
I had to come back and make sure that we were okay. You crapped out on the first one, so I thought.
Yep.
I don't know if this is going to go
so great. You were bad luck, I think. Actually,
the second I left, it started going good again.
It did. So we'll see. We'll keep an update on this. The rule is every break you have to play for basically 5 minutes, 4.5 minutes, whether up or down, and we'll see. And hopefully we build this thing up.
We got
we'll
what?
See.
We got the noon break, 12:25, one. We got like four. More breaks, unless you count the one at the end of the show, and the listener can't do that.
No.
Four more chances to win for you.
That's right. Okay, that was a good break. That was a good break for the show.
But seriously, come out and see us. Come out and see us here at Hollywood Casino
for Fan Takeover
Day. Yeah, the
Sportsbook is awesome.
And if you're thinking you can't make it out today, but you want to come again soon, you can come for our Chiefs Roundtable, which we'll have Mitch Holtis and Danon Hughes out here on August 29th. They'll be broadcasting out here at 6 o'clock, where you'll have a chance to meet and greet, ask questions, be a part of it. If you got to come to our roundtable when it was Josh Vernier and some Royals players like Michael Massey and others, maybe something like, you know, it's going to be very similar energy to that. Open to the public. You just got to be 21 or older.
Yeah, great meet and greet afterwards, as you said, as well. All right, tomorrow night, preseason game number one. The result itself is not what anybody cares about, but there are multiple players. We asked Briscoe about this. He mentioned Tyquan Thornton and others. I still think the player that I am most excited about for the game, because let's be real, as much as we're talking about Josh Simmons, left tackle play is not exactly thrilling to watch, okay? Breshard Smith is the number one player I'm excited about, because I actually think there's a chance he's going to have a lot of reps and could very easily be one of the good stories out of the game, to the point where Monday everybody's all excited, now everybody's talking about, oh, they don't need a certain player on the roster. You know, if Breshard Smith plays well, maybe it makes it so Elijah Mitchell isn't someone that you feel has to be on the roster. Certainly financially they're not tied to Mitchell or Kareem Hunt. But if Breshard Smith goes out there and he catches a pass that should only go for 5 yards and turns it into 20 or a touch. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think it's going
to
be so much.
20-plus yard plays were hard to come by for this offense,
man.
They were. So hard to come by for this offense. And why you and I wanted them to draft a running back higher than they took Breshard Smith, in fairness. So, like, part of me wants, like, it's like a deeper reason behind it. Like, I want to watch him because I want him to make the roster gold. But I want them to prove me wrong that the 78 running backs they could have had in the draft before the one they took in the seventh round came around for a unit that's not so deep that it doesn't deserve some competition, that for the times that you and I were watching them pass up everybody, I don't care who it was, whether it be R.J. Harvey or Scadaboo or the million other backs who were available between the second and the sixth round, that they were right and that they found a guy. And I'm not saying preseason game number one decides that, but it can begin the process of deciding if the player gets to stay on the roster for a while. So it's like him and Simmons are one and two. They just kind of have to be. Rookies are always really high. You know, Karloftis got 2 sacks, I think, in his very first ever preseason game. So if Jelani bursts onto the scene, maybe that's a good sign that he can be there right away. And you can see when pass rushers have it gold. So, like, that always interests me, at least. Noel Williams interests me. Because I still feel like, I Christian Fulton's barely played, so like I feel like he's going to get a regular time. The rookies are always really high on my list. Random vet. This is a tough year for that, other than Tyquan Thornton. Like, what is the random veteran player that you're like, boy, I kind of want to see what they have other than Kingsley, and I'm going to get what? A drive? Maybe two? And then you're forcing me to evaluate left guard play against backups and non-exotic defenses?
What if it's Bob Tonyan?
I can't, maybe? You know, like...
Yeah, but it's like Robert Tonyan, though. Like, you know, like, but here's the thing: there's no real upside there. Like, you know, Travis Kelce's your number one. Noah Gray's the two, no matter what Robert Tonyan does. So we're talking about a veteran that's going to be at best case your number three tight end. You know what I mean? Like, you're right that Tunyon's had a good camp. I just don't like, unless Noah Gray or Kelce get hurt, Robert Tunyon's not jumping ahead of anybody on the depth chart.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I'm more excited to see Noah Gray than him. Is that weird?
No.
Because, like,
I mean,
Travis,
I still want to see Jared Wiley a little bit. I would like to see Jared Wiley a little bit. Because let's be honest, like, he was a name they talked about a ton a year ago, and he just had the injury happened, and then he has had a very quiet camp. I mean, Felix Anudike-Uzama, we've talked a lot about him and his job maybe being in jeopardy a little bit. It'd be nice to sit here and be talking on Monday and say, wow, he got a sack, or he popped on the screen or something like that. Because at camp, he's been non-existent. So
Felix
far.
Does, you know what? That is an intro to this when I said random veteran. That's probably the one. The way Nate Taylor was talking,
qualify, yeah.
The way Joshua Briscoe was talking, the way we know that teams always seek out other defensive ends, especially if injuries. And last night was a very stark reminder that players you like can get hurt in a preseason game. There were multiple injuries in the preseason yesterday. So, like, part of me is just, like, holding
yeah,
on
Raven,
for life.
That Ravens corner, that was ugly.
Yeah,
the
real
foot,
ugly.
I mean, that leg was bent in a
bad direction, a direction that should never go.
So was Anthony Richardson pinky, for whatever that's worth. It was bent the wrong damn way, too.
Yeah, he'll
and
be
so,
fine, I'm guessing. But
no,
the other, the Ravens, corner's out for the season.
Yeah. You can lose important players. And so, like, that's always part of preseason, is me just holding on for dear life, being like, I hope it's not one of the guys who I expect to be in the starting 22.
And that's why I know Andy said, you know, Mahomes is going to play the full quarter. And he is going to play. We know Andy's not going to sit him. But it's why, man, get in and get out and be done. You just do not need to literally ruin your entire season because you want to have him have a rep during a preseason game. I know Mahomes likes to get that first hit out of the way as well, but yeah, you definitely hold your breath when it's Mahomes, when it's Kelce, when it's Xavier Worthy, Chris Jones, McDuffie, those star players.
Yeah, I mean, of course, those are the guys. And here's the truth: Chiefs aren't getting through the rest of the season with no injuries.
Yeah,
somebody's going to miss games. Somebody's going to miss time. How they cover those things? I think they're depth-wise better positioned than they have been to handle some of those needs and some of those injuries. Not all, but certainly some of those injuries, they're better positioned. But yeah, I do kind of want to see. And for the first try's purposes, I'm interested. I will say this. I am interested, not to say that it means everything, because they're going against base defenses, some backups, and all that other stuff. I do want to get, this would be my first glimpse of Xavier Worthy, Rashee Rice, Hollywood Brown, like these guys on an NFL football field together, having played an entire NFL football season. Not a rookie Xavier Worthy, not, you know, like, and Taekwondo, these are like every, and look, I know that like this, I won't get all of them yet, but this preseason becomes interesting for me if I can get that at any point. If in game two I can get Rice and Worthy and Hollywood for a game, I hope so. This one, unfortunately, it's going to be Worthy and Taekwon going down the field together. And I don't know, maybe Travis Kelce, although I don't need to see Travis Kelce in a preseason game ever again.
Yeah, I think we're all on the same page there. I mean, Breshard Smith would be number one. So put out your number one is Smith for me.
Yeah,
I'll
Smith.
Put Norman Lott two.
Gelati.
Gelati's two for you.
And then Felix.
So I'm not there. So yeah, one Smith. Norman Lott is two. I would say Jalen Royals, then Josh Simmons, and then Felix, you know, in terms of order of guys
Simmons,
that I'm interested to see.
It's just hard for me. For Kingsley and Simmons, it's like the only way I'm going to be like, well, they didn't screw it up. I'm still going to need to see it in a regular seat. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't move the needle even a little for me. Thanks for not screwing it up against backups in a non-exotic defense situation. Talk to me in a month, man. Jalen Royals, he can at least make some catches, and I can be like, well, you know what? See a little juice there. You see a punt return for a touchdown. You see some kick returns. Maybe Smith does that. That's why he's won. You might see him in a punt return, in a kick return, in the receiving game out of the backfield, in a handoff in the backfield. He's easily the most interesting player. For a seventh-round pick, that says something. But I've told you, they are not hyping him the way that they were hyping Pacheco. So I do think you should set some reasonable expectations. When Isaiah Pacheco was a rookie and he was coming out of the draft, by this time, the hype train on Pacheco was very high. Like, it was clear he was probably had a good chance of being the starting running back for this team. Nobody's talking about Breshard Smith this way. We're talking about ancillary, can he contribute?
Receiving runs. Option,
yeah.
More than anything else. Do we know in Arizona, have you guys looked to see, what are they playing Kyler much? Do we know? They're playing the Cardinals, obviously. Are they playing Kyler? Are they playing Marvin Harrison Jr. much? They got some young running backs there. a lot of people are looking at them as a Cardinals team. Could they take a leap this year in a tough division? But I didn't know if we know if Kyler's going to – because that would be a good test for the defense, all I'm saying. Is Kyler playing a series or is he playing a quarter?
He's had injury history
in his career as well. James Conner has got injury history, but they've got some other young backs they like over James Conner almost at this point. This could be the last year where James Conner is much of a factor in Arizona.
Kyler Murray will play in preseason opener 2 days ago from azcentral.com. Let's see. He's taken just 9 preseason snaps in his entire NFL career. Gannon said, quote, "I think it's best for this and our entire team that he gets those snaps. I think he'll be good at this point of health-wise." God, why Papa Bad's on this, whatever this site is. That'd drive me nuts. Did not commit to how many snaps the starters will get, but did say he will play in the first preseason game. So, yeah, you will get the Kyler Murray experience. We know Andy, he's old school. Yeah. He'll give all of his guys a drive. The starters will go against whoever the Cardinals throw out for Series 1. Chiefs starters will get to go for Series 1, and then, yeah, we'll just kind of see where things go after that. You and I talked at the beginning of the show, because this is the part that we're talking about when it comes to the offense. Sam McDowell put out the statement in a KC Star article just saying, had they been as good as they were in the red zone in 2022, which, as a reminder, was 71% touchdown rate, right? 71% touchdown rate. They would have been the 6th best offense in the NFL. And you're like, ooh, maybe that is a good sign of regression to the mean alone will bring the Chiefs offense back to where it needs to be. Now, that would be oversimplifying it, in my opinion, Gold, to a way too common extent, because the Chiefs offense in 2022 also scored 29 points a game. He said they'd be the 6th best offense with that level of red zone percentage, not the 1st best. So they're still off where they need to go is the way I look at this. Yeah, they can just be better in the red zone, and that certainly will help them. But that alone, Gold, will not make them the offense that I want them to be under Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and everything else in between, you know?
Yeah,
where
but
I want
the
them to
bar
be back
for
to be
them,
the best offense in football.
The bar for them, though, is top five. I understand, like, you know, you can say, like, everything goes right, they're the best offense in football. That is true, but realistically – if they were a top five offense again, that changes everything for them. They could be a top five offense, win fewer games, and you would feel better about them in the postseason. Because even in these years where offensively Mahomes and they haven't looked right and they haven't been as effective, come playoff time, they have still made the plays they have to, with the exception of being in the actual Super Bowl where everything went wrong against an Eagles team that just flat out dominated them. Otherwise, even the last couple years in which they won Super Bowls, they weren't the best offense in football in the regular season, but come playoff time, Mahomes played it just took it up a notch, and that's what the great ones do. So, yes, if during the regular season they were top five offense and a defense that I still think will be top 10 easily, then they will be just fine. They will be competing for one of the top 2 seeds, 3 seeds. The reason why I say I extended out to 3 is because I'm not so sure that because of scheduling that the Bills aren't the clear favorite to be the number 1 seed.
Doesn't
mean they're going to get to the Super Bowl, but this is their best shot. If the Chiefs get to top 5, I don't think it's crazy for me to sit here and say, "Oh, they're winning the Super Bowl."
No, I mean
if they are a top 5 offense, they are winning the Super Bowl.
That's it? That's the bar?
Because look where they've been without it being that,
look,
Cody.
I'll be honest. I'm trying to decide if I want to argue, like, if I disagree or not.
Yeah.
You're saying that, and I'm trying to think about it.
I'm not saying they're going to win 16 or 17 games, but win the Super Bowl? Oh, if they are back anywhere to what they have been in the past offensively, and it's the big question, and why we've been saying, hey, they got to get back to it. If they do that, tell me why they're not winning the Super Bowl. Because I don't think the defense is suddenly the 18th best defense in football. They will be a top 10 defense. I feel pretty confident in that. I'm more skeptical that the offense is actually going to be a top 5 offense and that the defense can't just stay right where they've been.
I will say the defense's floor feels 10 to 13th, 10 to 12th. I mean, it just does.
Yeah.
They're returning a lot of their players. Justin Reed alone cannot sink them. We all agree that Steve Spagnuolo is the best at what he does. For a million reasons why, I just have a hard time imagining that they would be worse than that, even if, barring major injury, you know this works.
Yeah, anytime you talk about season stuff, everybody's assuming health.
Yeah, because, like, outside of that. But on offense, it's so hard to know. I didn't think last year's offense could be as bad as it was, But then in retrospect, obviously, Gold, they had no one available in the wide receiver unit for 99% of the time.
Part of the thought is if they actually were top five while they have their number one receivers suspended during that season, this season, for 4 or 6 games, and they still ended up being top five, that means they were electric. That means the deep passing was back. That means Xavier Worthy, to me, did get to the 950,000-yard mark. It meant everything was clicking. It meant that they had the best left tackle play. A lot has to go right. I don't think it's impossible, but 3 or 4 things have to happen for them to get to that level, and that's what I'm saying. If they actually got to that level, then this offense would be back in that category of almost being unstoppable. And at that point in time, you give Andy Reid time to prepare in the postseason. You get Spags, what he's done against Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen at times. Like, I would feel like, how the heck are they not winning a Super Bowl?
Still crazy. What was that stat I saw on, I think it was Nick Wright putting out the stat. It was talking more about Mahomes because he does a lot of that. As a Kansas City kid who happens to be on national television.
Yes.
Makes sense that Kansas City, especially with Patrick Mahomes, would be a regular topic source. But he's pointing out the fact that there is only Josh Allen is the only quarterback in NFL history to have 7 playoff wins and not have appeared in a Super Bowl. And that is largely because of Patrick Mahomes. And Sean McDermott is tied with one other coach with most playoff wins by a coach who's never appeared in a Super Bowl. Because after a while, you just got to think that you're getting there. And I understand that that's because of Mahomes. The one thing about their offense, you're right, that the national media probably doesn't want to accept, Gold, is that their regular season offense can be whatever it is. But you and I both know that when the postseason starts up, that team scores. The Chiefs score. They do more than most teams in the regular season are capable of doing. And scoring typically goes down, as you know, in the postseason for pretty much any team across the board, including teams who led the league in scoring, like, you know, Philly or Buffalo or the other teams that have gone with it. Those teams traditionally score less when the postseason comes around. And instead, the Chiefs, who have been a limited offense each of the last 2 seasons, have historically scored more. Look, forget the Super Bowl last year. In the conference title game, scored 32. And then the divisional round scored 23. And again, they could have scored way more, as you know. They blew a lot of opportunities in the red zone in that game and settled for field goals. They just didn't have to.
Once Tank Dell got hurt, that whole game got weird.
But 32 against Buffalo. Buffalo was the number one ranked defense in the league last year. Or one of the top 3. Without looking at it, they were one of the top 3 ranked points per game defense in the league last year. Dropped 32. Dead serious. Did the Chiefs score 32 more than like twice in the regular season last year?
That was the story. That was a whole talking point throughout the year. You know, they weren't blowing anybody out. They were winning. They still, by the way, this streak is still intact of, you know, 17 straight one-score games or whatever it was. That's still intact because the Super Bowl was not a one-score game. One-score games, the Chiefs, I still believe, have the longest streak going at 17 in a row.
The Chiefs did not score. That was the most points they had scored all year. The AFC title game for the chance to go to the Super Bowl is the most points they put on the board all year. And because it's the playoffs, it just kind of is who they are. Their ceiling, I kind of agree with Briscoe, though, I will say. Their ceiling is still number one. If you have Patrick Mahomes and everything's not destitute, right, as in you have zero weapons.
I just don't know. Can you get to number one with your number one receiver missing potentially up to 6 games? And I would push back and say I don't know how they're the number one offense.
As in a points per game,
yes.
official, not we're saying.
For the whole
the
year,
offense.
Are they the number one offense? I don't know if that's really in play if you don't have your one. Now, if you want to tell me from week 8 to week 17 or whatever, week 18, I guess, that they're number one, sure. But actually, the number one offense start to finish points per game, I don't know if you can get there when your number one wide receiver is going to be missing, you know, 4 to 6 games.
No, it's hard. It's hard. Harder. But if it's only 4, you're only behind the 8-ball in the points per game category for a little bit. Remember when the Saints were the number one points per game offense in the league a month into the season last year? Was that last year? Was that 2 years ago? What year was it that out of nowhere?
Oh, the Saints started the last year. The Saints had the first 3 weeks of the season where everybody was talking up.
They scored like 40 points a game.
Was it Kubiak? Who was
it? Clint Yeah, Kubiak.
I think it was Kubiak, who now was some a team was playing last night. I drew a blank. But yeah, that was the whole story. I'm pretty sure it was Kubiak's son.
I'm just saying, like, a month's Clint. Not going to determine the number one points.
And everybody's like, what is going on with this? And then Derek Carr got hurt, and then everybody got fired, and now they're going to start Tyler Shuck or Spencer Rattler. Have they decided who they're starting yet?
Mm.
Doesn't really matter.
Drew, do you know?
Doesn't really matter.
I don't think so. Because Chuck has.
I told
not.
You, I want it to be Spencer Rattler, so I can sell. Anybody want to buy my Spencer Rattler rookie cards, please?
I don't think they've determined it because Chuck does not look good.
Was there a plural on
plural,
that one?
Plural. They're not high end ones. Okay.
Were
they're
you
not
were you
ones.
Buying into that?
No,
market?
I got them out of breaks. I didn't want them.
Current offshore odds, because I can't quite get to a kiosk while we're in the middle of the show, or I just go look. Current offshore odds for starting quarterback have Spencer Rattler at -170, a guy who's actually started NFL games for them. Tyler Shuck at +140, and Jake Haener +25-1.
Okay, yeah, that's usually a market you can't always bet anyway.
Yeah.
So that makes sense. We will get to some of our favorite futures right here at Hollywood Casino inside the sportsbook coming up in about 25 minutes or so. Drew, start thinking about those two. Each one of us are going to give our favorite future bet that you
I've got mine locked
here.
In. I'm ready to go.
I'm not going to even look, and I'm not going to – don't tell me what it is ahead of time. I'm worried of what it is.
It has nothing to do with the Cincinnati Bengals. It has
okay, I'll give you credit. I was
nothing.
Worried you were going to come up with some parlay of – Burrow no. MVP, Bengals
over
Super Bowl, over wins.
Mine is also just general
Jamar
NFL.
Chase to be Offensive Player of the Year. Trey Hendrickson to be defined. They're going to be the greatest team in NFL history. I'm glad we're not going there. I'm glad we're not
playing?
Going there.
Is he practicing yet?
I don't think so. You don't have a deal.
No.
He doesn't have a deal yet. He's in street clothes. Don't forget, we are broadcasting live from Hollywood Casino. We're here till 2. The drive takes over at 2 o'clock. It is the fan takeover day. We're registering you to win a Charles Amenihu signed football plus Chiefs Colts tickets. The folks from Hollywood Casino are also giving away $100 in pin cash every hour from 10 a.m. So it's already happening till 6 o'clock tonight. Up next, let's get to a little what's trending here on Cody and Gold. We'll also get back into the Royals' upcoming stretch of 9 games and those futures bets that we like.